May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? It was Christmas Day a few years ago now when an eager vicar was up early for the 8 o'clock service. In truth, getting up this early was easy because the children had been up for hours. But the vicar was feeling rather stiff and achy and decided to lie on the floor to do some Pilates-style stretches to loosen up the bad back. The truth was, of course, that it wasn't just achy pains, it was in fact quite painful indeed, and she hadn't told her husband for fear of reprimand that she was working too much, not doing enough exercise, and wasn't it time to go back to the doctor? Because this was not a new phenomenon, and it had been a tedious, recurring theme of the previous few years. During those Pilates stretches, there was what felt like a snap. There was definitely a scream and a torrent of words that should never be uttered, and certainly not on Christmas Day. 20 minutes later, after much more swearing, the vicar was standing again, only this time not straight at all, but shoulders were 8 inches to the left of her hips, her face had gone white, and her left leg had gone numb. And where it wasn't numb, there was a pain that throbbed to the end of her toes. This was, she thought, as she bent double, surely the work of the devil. Clearly, going to church was now not going to happen. So a kind vicar rearranged his schedule and rushed over to cover the service. The cooking of Christmas dinner was undertaken by the guests with shouted instructions from the floor of the living room. I suspect too much wine was drunk by all. Being bent double for even a few weeks was excruciating, and it was a painful few months later when all was finally healed with an operation for a slipped disc. Waking up from the anaesthetic was like flipping a switch. What was once a weird mixture of numbness and agony was gone, and I was back home in my own bed the same day as surgery. It restored my faith in miracles. I was able to stand and praise God. Gone was the bar stool behind the altar from which I was able to take the occasional service. For fellow back pain sufferers, and statistics suggest I'm not alone on this, you will know there is nothing more debilitating. Every movement brings pain, and you count down the minutes until you can pop the next pill. It does, I have to say, make giving birth look like a walk in the park. So this poor woman, who was clearly known in the synagogue, had been bent double for 18 years. It makes me wince just thinking about her plight. And Jesus had compassion on her. He called her over and healed her. She hadn't even asked him. Although, of course, she had in her prayer. Jesus heard her, saw her shuffling along, bent over, hobbling, and wincing with every step she struggled to take. He saw her and called her over. I expect she had been ignored by all those around her. 18 years is a long time for her friends and neighbours to maintain their compassion. And if her ailment was understood as the work of the devil, as no doubt in those times it was, no one would dare get too close. So they let her be, they got out of her way, and she was left in the shadows of the synagogue, quietly going about her Sabbath rituals, her routine, and her prayer. And in this moment, her greatest prayer was answered. In her faithfulness, she kept Sabbath through pain and discomfort and social isolation. And she was healed. She stood up straight, and her first response and instinct was to praise God. The faith in her heart called her to worship him. Her soul sang for joy with love for God. And yet, as we imagine that scene as one of joy and wonder, of miracle and celebration, we hear that not all heard it that way. Not all faces in that crowd that had gathered around turned to joy and amazement. The leader of the synagogue was outraged that he had been upstaged and outranked. He was outraged by the power and authority of Christ. Who was this man? Who was challenging the norms around him? Who was setting people free and stirring up the crowds? Who was this popular preacher around whom great crowds had gathered? The synagogue leader, wanting to prove his credentials, threw the only criticism he could think of at Jesus. It is the Sabbath day. How dare you break the laws and do work on this day? He was posturing with his knowledge of the law and claiming a false authority that suggests that only he knew what was right. This wandering preacher who performed miracles and gathered crowds around him was clearly wrong. He did not know the law, which meant, of course, that he did not know God either. He was a charlatan, a lawbreaker. There was no praising from this leader. He was deeply threatened and angry. He had, of course, also totally missed the point. Jesus was and is the point of the Sabbath. Jesus was doing what all farmhands had ever done, what all good shepherds had ever done. He had brought a thirsty woman to fresh, sweet living water. The synagogue leader was suggesting that this woman was of less value than a donkey. A donkey would be untied and given a drink. But this woman, who needed her thirst quenched, was to be denied. She was worth less than a common animal. But Jesus, in his compassion, set her free from her pain, from her torment. He'd embodied in this healing all that the Sabbath is and ever should be about: freedom and liberation. Free from work, yes. And in that freedom from work, we are reminded that in the Exodus story, we are commanded to keep Sabbath and keep it holy, free from work. But again, when the Sabbath is mentioned in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites are reminded of their release from slavery in Egypt, and God commanded them to keep the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is about both rest from work and being set free by God. In both these clearly connected themes from Exodus and Deuteronomy, we are called to think about what to do with that freedom from work, that freedom to rest a while, and in that freedom to seek holiness. Freedom is not given for its own sake, but to be used as a gift for which our response is praise and worship, which is precisely what Jesus was showing us as he healed that woman on the Sabbath in a synagogue. And her response is precisely what ours is called to be: to praise and worship God. The Sabbath is rest from work, but it is also an invitation to true freedom. Freedom from all our self-doubts, our godly doubts, but also free from that which holds us back, what binds us up and keeps us down. Sabbath is for freedom and room to grow, room to learn and to study Scripture, room and space to be with God, to dwell with Christ. Sabbath is for now, for living and living in all its abundance in Christ. Sabbath is freedom for holiness, freedom to be with Christ in worship, in thankfulness and gratitude. Free from work to worship, free from bondage to love, free from over-identifying all our worth in our work and all our value in our ability to be productive. God calls us out of this bondage. We are valued without our work, not because of it. We are valued without us producing anything, but because, and only because, we are made in the image of God. The Israelites in Egypt were measured in their worth by the number of bricks they built. We are called to build nothing more than hearts of gratitude for all that God has given us. Our work may very well, of course, be valued and blessed, but our true worth, our true value, comes from us bearing the image of God, not by the bottom line that we achieve. For me, this is freedom. This is fulfilling the call to be free. This is standing tall because we are made in the image of God, every single one of us. The Sabbath is for us. It's God's gift to us. Sabbath is, as the writer of Hebrews may have said it, is for knowing the kingdom, that promise of God when all will be reconciled to him, when the transient nature of this world will pass and all will live with God as acceptable worship, that in Sabbath we come to Mount Zion, that dwelling place of God, that place of resurrection and new life, the heavenly Jerusalem. And that is precisely what that woman did when she answered Jesus' call to stand before him in that synagogue. He laid his hands on her and she stood up. She may very well have danced with joy for the first time in 18 years. Her Sabbath had properly arrived. She was free and unbound and truly full of worship and holiness. Today we pray for ourselves and we hold before God all that holds us back from knowing ourselves as truly his children. We think of all those things which stop us fully worshiping as we seek as God's people to hear his call to come closer, to allow Jesus to stretch out his hands to you so that you too can stand tall, made in his image, and worship and rejoice free of your burdens. We are God's new creation. We draw closer to him and we pray for that miracle which is needed to bring all peace, all reconciliation within ourselves and within our world, and true Sabbath to all who need to hear this truth and this good news. The Sabbath is a day dedicated to knowing God's love for us, and we are invited to rest in that, be free in it, and let that carry us through whatever our labours may be of the week ahead. Let's pause for a moment to pray. Lord God, this Sabbath day, heal us and all your people, especially for those of us who are seeking a real miracle in your name. that life and liberation, freedom and a true Sabbath full of your holiness may be found, where in your presence we can stand tall, truly ourselves, and lift our hands and our hearts to praise you with reverence and awe. In our Sabbath and in our work, may we give to you the best we can as you gave to us your best, your beloved Christ, to set us free. May we respond with hearts of gratitude and a renewal of our worth in your sight. May we glory in you as you in us. Amen. And as for that vicar with a bad back and slipped disc, she rejoices each day that she can stand and worship God, and that through the miracle of medicine stands before you today. Amen.